Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It is a blessing to be here in the studio with my beautiful sister, Tara, and we are still in Tell It Well, praise the Lord.
Our 11th month.
11th month. I can't believe that. In the book of Acts.
Yeah.
And this time we are going to be talking about Peter.
Wow. I love it. You know, this particular chapter, the first time I looked at it when I was writing this Bible study, I thought, why do I want to put that in there? Because I thought, there's no way anybody's going to look at Acts 11 and take anything, because it's really, in many ways, a retelling of what happens in Acts 10. And as God so graciously loves to do to his children when they think there's nothing in a particular chapter that could speak to them, he took me by surprise. Mm. And so a lot of repetition from Acts 10, but the lessons are different than Acts 10. Okay, So we had Acts 9 with Saul's conversion, Acts 10 with Cornelius's conversion. What we're going to look at today is as Peter leaves the circumstances where he had been in Caesarea sharing with Cornelius, the brethren come to him and question what he did. And so that's where we're going to begin. I'm going to story the chapter, and then we'll begin to look at how did Peter use this time of critical critique to bring about an optimal impact to tell what happened. Because really, that is crucial for what we need to do and how we need to do it. So let's look at it. All right, so as the apostles had returned from going and sharing with the Gentiles, some of the men who were part of the group of circumcision came up to Peter and they said, is it true you ate with the Gentiles? You need to essentially explain yourself to us, Peter. And Peter just listened to what they had to say and then very calmly set out to explain to them what he had seen and heard. And he said, guys, it's like this. I was in Joppa. I was just praying. And while I was sitting there praying, I had this trance. And in this trance, the sheet from heaven fell with four-footed animals and wild beasts and reptiles and birds of the air. And the voice said, kill and eat. And I said, surely not, Lord, you know, because my mouth has never eaten anything unclean. And the voice told me to do it again. And it happened three times this way that I heard and saw this. And about the same time that I was praying and this trance fell upon me, there were three men that came from Caesarea. And the Spirit of the Lord told me not to hesitate, to not wait, to go down and see what they had to say. And so I went down and they shared with me what happened. And I gathered up six brethren to go with me. And we gathered up and we went out to Caesarea. And as I entered the house, he explained to me, he said that an angel had appeared to him. And the angel told him to send for Simon Peter and that he would bring the message so that you could be saved and all that is with you. And that is what happened. And so I began to speak to them. And as I began to tell them about what had happened, the Holy Spirit, like it was Pentecost again, he fell down on them. And it was amazing. It was just, it was astounding. And he goes, I remembered that moment when Jesus had said that John baptizes with water, but I baptize with the Spirit. And he goes, and I was thinking about that. And I'm seeing the Spirit of God moving in them. And I think, who am I to oppose the Spirit of God at work in them? And as they were listening to him, as he's explaining this, none of them could argue with what he had to say, because God had granted the Gentiles repentance unto life. And as he finished up, then the chapter goes in and explains that there was a scattering that began to take place. And those that after Stephen was martyred, there were some that they went into the area of Phoenicia, and another group that went to Cyprus, another group that went off to Antioch. And their sole goal was to reach the Jews. And that's what they did. They began to preach to the Jews. But there was another group. This group, this time, they took off and they went from Cyprus and Cyrene, but they went to the Greeks. They began to speak the gospel to the Greeks. And as the good news was being told about Jesus, great numbers of people were coming to know the Lord. And this news was traveling all the way to Jerusalem. And the body got together and they decided we needed to find out what is going on. And so they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he got there, it was so evident that the power of God's grace and God's encouragement was happening among the people that all he could say was, continue in what you're doing with the Lord and be encouraged in your heart and what God is doing. And Barnabas was so full of faith, so full of the Holy Spirit, that many people in his presence were coming to know the Lord as what was going on in the city. He was so excited that he couldn't contain it and keep it to himself. He had to get somebody to come along and see this. So he sent for Saul, and he had Saul come, and he came up to see what was going on. And as they began to share and preach, great numbers of people were coming to know the Lord. The disciples at this point were so in the imitation of Christ that those who looked at them called them Christians for the very first time. And about this time, a prophet had come into the city, and his name was Agabus. And as Agabus was listening to what was going on, he began to predict to them that there was a famine that was coming in the land. And they listened to what he had to say, and he explained that it was going to affect the entire Roman world. And the disciples listened, and according to their own ability in that area of Judea, they began to send gifts through Barnabas and through Saul to help minister to the needs of the people that would suffer from this famine. Okay, the end. May God bless the story of his word. That essentially is what happened in Acts 11, as told in Scripture, spoken in my own words. And, I mean, it's amazing. There's so many details of things that were happening. And one of the things I want to point out is this chapter really emphasizes about outsiders becoming insiders. Okay? I mean, I really want you to think about it, because it's Peter's returning, and you know he was on, I don't know, for lack of a better word, a spiritual high. Can you imagine? I mean, in a trance, he's praying. Somebody in another city far away is told by an angel to get him so that he could know how to be saved, sends for him. He goes in obedience to the Spirit. When the Spirit says, do not hesitate, he went. He took 6 witnesses to go with him and did exactly as God wanted him to do. Even though in his heart, and in his teaching and in his past, it had told him by tradition and by culture that it was not acceptable for a Jew to eat with a Gentile. He went ahead and went. And the whole group has the Spirit of God fall upon him. You know he was on a holy high. And as he was returning, the minute he enters the city, this was not Pharisees, this was not the Sadducees, this was not the Sanhedrin, the religious sects, or anything outside of Christendom. This was brothers in Christ, believers, came and attacked him because he had eaten with a Gentile. Now, they didn't attack him because he preached the gospel to a Gentile. They didn't attack him because he gave them freedom for baptism. They didn't attack him for anything related to theology or a biblical thing. What they attacked him for was that they felt that they were the chosen ones, and by him going and doing what he did, they felt it was demeaning. And so they're like, we got to go deal with this teacher, because they were disappointed in him and wanted to let him know he did nothing wrong. He did not deserve the attack, and most likely he did not expect it. Yet it came at him in full force. The question that we have to ask ourselves, and the question that comes to me as I reflect on this, is like, wow, Tara, do you act the same when a brother or a sister in Christ comes up and attacks you? Whether I deserve it or not, what is my response going to look like? How am I going to react? What am I going to do? The anticipation, it happens often in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And it's often the people we least expect it from. And it's often when we least expect it to have happen. But it happens. What is my response going to look like? And, Sabrina, you just got back from a big women's event. And I know when I am doing like a big retreat or a big event or something, you come home and then all of a sudden it's just like chaos can hit after you've been on the holy high. And I've learned to pray against mm-hmm. that because of that experience. Mm-hmm. And my heart hurts for Peter because of what happened, because I called them essentially his story bullies, because it's like, you know, they don't trust him, don't trust what he did, what trust happened. And mm-hmm. and it was all about them instead of about
the appearance.
It was completely
keeping up with appearances. Yeah. Oh my goodness, do we live in that world?
It was the Jones mentality completely. Yes. The Joneses. Isn't that funny? And we think that that's a new concept.
Nothing's new under the sun.
No, Ecclesiastes. It's so funny. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look through, what did Peter do? How did he respond? And how can that teach me to respond properly? And so Peter models for us what I call how to produce optimal impact in these kind of circumstances. Because when it's that volatile, when it's that full and the force is that strong, it is a perfect opportunity for us to be an agent of grace. Mm. Okay? And Peter was, because Peter could have gone on the defensive.
Right.
And Peter could also have gone on the offensive. He could have attacked, but he could have also been offended. And Peter didn't. Now, what do we know about Peter? Tell me about Peter before Christ's resurrection. What was Peter like?
Before Christ's resurrection, that is when he denied Christ. Mm-hmm. And he kind of would talk a little bit without thinking sometimes.
Was he spontaneous?
Very.
Was he what you would call a dramatic person?
I would say so, yeah.
Would you say that he was a person that was a little too free with his words?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Based on what we just told with this passage, what was Peter's response like?
Not like that.
No.
That's where you know it was the Spirit of God.
It was very calm. He gave an incredibly calm, simple response. And so what I'm going to do is when people come and they begin to question us, what about, I asked this question in the study. It's like, well, what about your story bullies? When this happens, people who question, a story bully, meaning our testimony bully or... Okay, somebody that is after you about mm-hmm. what you have seen and heard in Christ, working for Christ. They question your motives.
Mm-hmm.
They question the validity of what has happened. They question the heart of the story. They question the truth of God's word. And they'll come after us right down to even just the simple joy of enjoying what God has given us. Mm-hmm. Okay. All of those happened in that split second with that question towards Peter. Peter, on the other hand, totally, in a completely relaxed way, I wrote out some things that I, in the Tell It Well Bible study, it's in chapter 11, that Peter did that profoundly took me by surprise. I noticed that he didn't argue with them. Okay, what Peter did is he began... He told it in order. He just said what happened.
Yep.
He didn't go with, I don't know, that passionate, spontaneous response of in your face.
Right.
But he went into the simplicity of just explaining what was. So he told it in order, and then he told of his struggle. He said, man, I was there in a trance. I was arguing with God. My lips have never eaten anything unclean. And three times God tells me in that trance, don't call unclean what I call clean. And he goes, then he says, I was given direction. Holy Spirit told me not to hesitate. So I went, and God's plan revealed what was happening. He shared what was happening with him, and then he revealed God's plan. And then he told of the witnesses he brought along. I'm not the only one that saw what happened. Six other men can bear witness. There were seven of us in total that could bear witness to the truth of what happened. And then he told of the Spirit's movement. The Spirit of God fell upon them. And who am I to deny that? And the thing that I love more than anything, he actually pauses and begins to explain the sweetness of a remembrance with a time with Christ. And he says, I remember when mm-hmm. he said about John's baptism being with water, but his would be with the Spirit. And he was reflecting on the heart of Christ by doing that, reminding them of the Spirit's movement. The other thing he did is he tells and explains how it completely fulfills the will of God. And so as he goes through those processes, I thought, God, what about me when I am ready to share with somebody about what's going on in my life, about how Christ has worked in me? I think we can get worked up. We can think I can't do this, or it's too hard, too complicated. I don't know what to say. It's not that complicated. You just tell an order of what's happened in your life. I mean, it's this simple. Mm-hmm. Then you tell what you struggled with, and then explain the directions that you got from God, and then explain how God's plan and his word is being revealed in your life, and then explain if there's people that have been witnesses to what's happened. Share who was there. Mm-hmm. Somebody else was a part of this. Sabrina was there. She saw. Tell of how the Spirit of God began to move. And for us, that would be how change began to take place. Mm. And then share how it fulfilled God's will, supports what's in the Word of God. When we follow those simple, basic processes, we can't deny the story, just as they couldn't deny the story, because it's you telling what you've seen and heard. Mm-hmm. There's no argument that can be placed against that. And so it's a very simple and sincere approach to being real about our touch with the divine. It's amazing. And have you had opportunity to share a story lately, Sabrina?
Yeah, I was just at an appointment right before I came here, and the young lady said, I'm pregnant and I'm not married yet. And I was like, she was just sharing her heart. And I said, I went through that same thing. And she's like, how did you get through it? I mean, it was like a walk right in. And I said, God is the only way I got through it. Mm. And you need to, if you have a Bible, you need to read it and start in the Psalms. And because there will be nights, you know, she has to move where he's at, and that's Japan, because he's military. And I said, you will feel so alone, but know that that longing is only for God, and he cannot fill it. Because I wish I would have had someone at that time say, your husband can't give you that. Only God can.
That's good.
So search and find him with all your heart.
Oh, that's a great, great.
Right before I got here.
I love it. See, God is awesome. He's so faithful. You know, that is an optimal example of how to share what God's doing and how he's worked in your life to bring another. We want you to come back and listen next week, because we're going to go into more about what Peter did and how it helped build testimony. God bless.